Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we welcome in our friend Caroline Fenton to the program, host of Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline, good morning. Happy New Year. How are you?
Good morning. Happy New Year. It's been a minute, but happy to be back on with you guys.
Happy to have you with us. And there's a whole lot going on in college football right now. Let's start with the college football playoff. We got two really good semifinal games, Caroline, Alabama and Michigan, and then Texas and Washington in the nightcap. What did you make of the way those two games played out and your initial thoughts on the national title matchup between Michigan and Washington?
Both instant classics, both great games, but for completely different reasons. I thought that Alabama-Michigan, just everything about it, the two programs, the fact that they were both wearing like their classic uniforms at the Rose Bowl, at the granddaddy of them all, with a trip to the national championship on the line, it just felt different. It felt special. And honestly, Rob, I was shocked by how much Alabama struggled.
Yep.
I picked Alabama to win. I don't know what you predicted in that game, but I think that a lot of college football people, national college football people, expected Alabama to win and pretty much to win handedly. I thought this is an Alabama team that is so dynamic. Maybe it's not as talented as Alabama teams in the past, but it is still freaking talented, and it finds ways to win games. I thought I'm not really sold on this really scary Michigan defense that's been going up against Big Ten offenses all year long. I don't know if Blake Corum can run his way to victory against this Alabama defense that has been really good at stopping the run all season long. And I was proved wrong. Even when Michigan shot themselves in the foot several times, they handed Alabama 7 points on that muffed punt. They missed a field goal. They missed an extra point with a weird snap. I mean, that's what, 11 points right there that they left on the field, and Michigan still found a way to win. So I was really impressed with Michigan. This is one thing I said on my show yesterday. I'm very conflicted with Michigan because I don't think that cheaters should be rewarded with a trip to the national championship and possibly even an eventual national championship trophy. But with what that Michigan locker room did, I mean, they Kirby Smart and Nick Saban cook up these conspiracy theories of the world against us.
7-5. 7-5.
It was quite literally the world against Michigan, and I still think it is, and they still found ways to win games. So I was really impressed with Michigan. I think that you could have flipped a coin between Texas and Washington, and I think that you still would have gotten a very deserving team out of that matchup. Michael Penix Jr. is just absolutely unreal. I don't know why Michael Penix Jr. isn't getting more buzz for being a higher drafted quarterback than he is. But with what I saw on Monday night against Texas, I mean, kid's top three, top four quarterback in this draft.
Yeah. Arguably should have been the Heisman winner too, as I
revote.
I mean,
don't get her going.
I'm not.
Don't you get her going? She's got stats.
I know. I'm not, and I'm not the the Heisman should be after the playoff person. You know, but I will say I was watching. I'm like, I think he might be the best player in the country. Darn it!
A Heisman winner should be after the playoff is a really convenient argument when you're watching the playoff.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. But I agree. He was incredible. Were you surprised at all? Because I think a lot of the analysis of – I mean, I'm with you on Michigan. Michigan, I thought, physically just beat Alabama. They're the most physical team in the country, and if they didn't make a bunch of mistakes, you know, I think they – I mean, both teams made mistakes, but Michigan really made some mistakes. I was impressed with them. But what about Texas? I just – a lot of the analysis going in that game, I just didn't know what to expect. But, you know, Texas, too physical, too talented on both lines of scrimmage. I thought that Washington offensive line, which, by the way, is the Joe Moore Award winner –
yep.
I mean, 11 sacks all year. I thought they were fantastic, along with Penix.
They were fantastic. And I maybe looked at the Washington offensive line in a very similar way that I looked at the Michigan defense. And that was, who have you really, excuse me, who have you really gone up against this year? Oregon has a pretty stout pass rush, but other than that, I didn't think Washington saw the scariest of defenses all year long. But that's no credit taken away from that offensive line and what they've done, and that offense as a whole and what they've done. I just didn't know how difficult of a sledding they've had all season long. But look, I owe Washington an apology, because I picked Oregon to beat Washington in the regular season. Washington beat them. I picked Oregon again to beat Washington in the Pac-12 title game, and Washington beat them. I picked Texas to beat Washington in the college football playoff, and Washington beat them. I think I finally learned my lesson about Washington, and that's just, they're a really good and physical football team, regardless of who they've played the regular season, regardless of some of the soft defenses they may have seen in the Pac-12 throughout the entirety of this season. Washington is legit. And I also think that Washington has the best pass-catching core in college football. They're ridiculous, Roma Dunze included. My goodness. Credit to Michael Penix Jr. for fitting the balls in, you know, what, a half a second window that he needed to fit them in, but also credit to those receivers for making plays all game long. I mean, what, they dropped one ball on Monday night? One ball.
They're incredible.
Incredible.
So you're picking Washington over Michigan then?
I think I might.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd be like, well, no, I got to go with Michigan.
No. I mean, I just said I learned my lesson. Every time I count Washington out, they impress me. So I am going to pick Washington over Michigan.
Caroline Fenton with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Caroline, what did you make of Nico and his performance with Tennessee against that special Iowa team that we saw out there the other day? And what do you think, you know, the hype around him is going to be outrageous heading into next season. What do you think Tennessee can do with Nico at quarterback if he turns into the guy that they think he can be?
Look, I was so impressed with Nico. I didn't know what to expect. It was the first time we really saw anything of Nico Iamaleava, and going up against that Iowa defense. And I don't know if Iowa's defense, if it just wasn't their day. I don't know if they had several opt-outs defensively, but that Iowa defense that we saw against Tennessee was not this Phil Parker Iowa defense that we've been sold, you know, for the last, you know, 15, 20 years, however long he's been at Iowa. But I was really, really impressed with what I saw from Nico. He didn't look like a quarterback that was making his first start. He didn't look like a true freshman. He looked confident. He looked poised. He made the throws that he needed to make. Ramel Keaton did not make the catches that he needed to make. I don't know what's going on with those Tennessee receivers, why they cannot just hold on to the freaking football. But I was really impressed with what I saw from Nico. I do want to heed a warning to all Tennessee fans. Cool it. All right. Cool it, everybody. We said the same thing about Joe Milton after the Orange Bowl last year, and then we saw what Joe Milton was this upcoming year. I saw the Peyton Manning comparisons, all right? I think Nico's a really talented quarterback. I think that Tennessee is in good hands moving forward, but let's calm down with the national championship expectations on the redshirt freshman. What can Tennessee be if Nico Iamaleava rises to the expectations? I don't know why college football playoff wouldn't be in the cards. It's a 12-team playoff. I think that the SEC could get four, even five teams in the college football playoff next year. So if he is as advertised, and what he is advertised as being is the next coming, then yeah, I think college football playoff absolutely is on the table. But it gets tougher in the SEC when you had Texas and Oklahoma in 2024.
Yeah, well, Peyton Manning is, I mean, come on. Now, the Milton thing, I would argue a little bit. Like, yeah, there was excitement about Joe Milton. We also knew that Joe Milton was going into his sixth year, right? It was like, can Joe Milton?
You knew that, and I knew that. Did the Tennessee fan base know that?
Well, I tell this story. After the Orange Bowl, we went back to the media hotel to write, and this, you know, a lot of Vols fans around this guy was like, so Nico's got to start next year, right? Like, it wasn't like, I mean, it wasn't like, oh, Joe, you're so amazing. I think some Tennessee fans have been totally out on him from the start. But hey, let me ask you this on that, because I noticed that Gentry who's been taking some shots. Let's take some more shots at Gentry this week. Gentry wrote the maybe Nico should have started instead of Joe this year column, which I don't agree with, but what do you think about that?
Of course we're going to say that. Of course, the kid that's been sitting on the bench all year behind a quarterback that had his ups and his downs, behind a quarterback that a lot of the fans weren't happy with, of course he should have started all year long, right? Because the backup quarterback's the most popular player on every single football team. I think Nico didn't start because he wasn't ready. He was 18 years old. He was a true freshman. I think we forget about that. That a lot of the lore of Nico Yamaleava, a lot of the intrigue of Nico was what we didn't know. And maybe that was a good thing. Maybe he wasn't playing because he wasn't ready to play. I don't know what Nico has been all year long. Maybe what he was in August, September, and October was a far cry from what we saw against Iowa on New Year's Day. So I'm not going to say that, but I think it's a very convenient argument to say that, looking at it in retrospect and seeing what we saw from Nico in the bowl game and say, well, he should have started all year long. Well, I mean, it's easy to say that, but we don't know what he's been all year long.
Caroline, what did you think of Georgia 63-3 against Florida State? A lot of Florida State fans really mad after the other day. Very
okay,
upset.
So I have two arguments on this. One, the people who are saying, well, see, Florida State shouldn't have been in anyway. That's not a fair argument because Florida State's entire team opted out. That is a shell of the Florida State team that we would have seen had Florida State gone into the college football playoff. With that being said, the Florida State fans that are upset about that argument, well, I mean, you shouldn't have pouted. You shouldn't have boo-hoo cried and said, well, we don't want to play in this game anyway. We're not in the college football playoff, so we're opting out. With the attitude that Florida State approached that game, sorry, like that's on you. You could have embraced it. Florida State could have looked at it and said, and look, the coaches can't control opt-outs. It's completely on the players. But if Florida State in the locker room said, look, we're going to prove everyone wrong. We are going to go out there and we're going to beat the big bad Georgia Bulldogs and we're going to prove to everybody that we deserve to be in the college football playoff, then it would have been a different narrative. But they didn't approach it that way. They pouted and said, we're not going to play in this game. We don't want to be here anyway, so we're not going to show up. Well, then whatever criticism you get for losing by 60 points, you kind of deserve it.
I mean, Georgia only beat UT Martin 48-7. Just throwing it out there.
Wow.
Just saying.
UT Martin should have been in the college football playoff.
There you go.
Caroline, great stuff.
That's my takeaway.
We've come back around to UT Martin. Put him in the playoff.
It always ends with UT Martin. It's like the Kevin Bacon game.
Caroline, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and we'll be listening at 11 o'clock.
Y'all are the best. Appreciate it.
Caroline Fenton, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Tennessee, by the way, got some good news yesterday that makes things pretty interesting on offense heading into next year. We'll get into that coming up next. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com joining us in the second half of the program. Rex Road already teeming in anticipation with a rant that I'm not sure if he's doing or if Kuharsky's doing or what's going on here.
Oh, does he want the rant today?
I don't know.
Got plenty
we'll
of rants.
We'll
I got lots
out.
Of rants. He can have it.
This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll be joined by Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe, some big news for the Tennessee Vols yesterday. Brew McCoy announcing that he'll be returning to the team next season. Obviously a brutal injury for McCoy this past season in the South Carolina game. And the offense certainly missed him coming down the stretch. But McCoy coming back next season, and that would, I would assume, Joe, mean that two spots at wide receiver in the starting rotation are spoken for with he and Squirrel White coming back. So we talked about the bodies. That, I mean, Nimrod is there. They've got Caleb Webb there. You've got Brazell coming in from Tulane, who they got. You've got Mike Matthews coming in as a five-star recruit. So they've got a lot of bodies that they've got at wide receiver. And it's going to be interesting to see kind of what that third spot looks like. But that's a big get for Nico. That's a big get for Heupel and the Vols to have Brew McCoy coming back next season.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. I think it's the right move for him. I think Brew McCoy is talented enough to get an NFL shot. I'm guessing, you know, I'd love to see the spreadsheet of Spire Sports NIL salaries, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's probably a case maybe or a guy like that that you probably do pretty similar or close or better, you know.
Maybe a little better.
But playing for the Vols next season. And then, you know, if he can have that healthy season, then I think that he can obviously improve his stock. I think he's got the tools. And so now I think that's two guys that you can lock in for the most part. You want four that you feel good. Well, you want more than that, but, you know, Heupel, as we've talked about many times, seems to like to pick three, four guys and go there. So who's the other guy? I'm going to withhold. Some people are just convinced that Brazel from Tulane is just a no-brainer. We'll see. I think Thornton is talented enough to be a key guy, but I just don't know. He was starting to come on and he gets the injury.
Yep. You start well, and then the other two guys, like Nimrod and Caleb Webb, they have not done anything spectacular, but can they ascend? Can they grow into, you know, a starting role over the offseason here? And look, you know, traditionally we have not seen, especially on the offensive side of the ball, true freshmen come in and make big impacts. We've also not seen, you know, the Vols recruit a guy like Mike Matthews in a while at wide receiver. So is he going to come in and be somebody who can play right away? Is he going to come in and it's going to be basically a redshirt year, either whether it's technically a redshirt year or not, from a learning perspective from him? Like, what's that going to look like with him? You know, does he force himself into the conversation? I mean, what you'd love to have if you're Heupel is for the three or four guys that you're trying to settle into to be a really difficult decision if you're him at some point.
Yes. I'm skeptical on – I understand Mike Matthews is a five-star, and we did see Squirrel White coming as a freshman.
He did.
And he was – but Squirrel White also, early enrollee, who was immediately lauded for his maturity and everything. And I just – I mean, the Laycock last year, people were like, oh, he's going to be too good to – you know, and where is he right now? I mean, I just – if Mike Matthews is that good and he's just too good to keep out, then that would be big. But I do think this offense – although I think once you get into the groove with it, it can be very simple at times. It's not simple right away.
Yeah.
To make those reads, be on the same page as the quarterback, play at the tempo and all that stuff. But, yeah, you hope it's a hard decision and that those guys are all still, you know, that those guys are all pushing each other. And then I guess Evan Stewart's still possible.
Well,
I don't know what the deal is with Evan Stewart. There's some crystal balls.
Yeah, it looks, you know, some – I guess the thought is that they're pulling themselves out of consideration for him, but we'll see what happens on that front. Regardless, with McCoy coming back, it's good news for Nico. Like, it's good to have veteran, established wide receivers in the fold that have played a lot of football. And with him and Squirrel White specifically, I mean, you've got guys that at this point in their career have played in a lot of SEC games, a lot of big-time football, a lot of meaningful game for the Vols. So that's good to have with your young quarterback, to have some veteran skill players. You would hope and you would assume that the production and really just the consistency level from the wide receivers next year, it should be a lot better than it was this past season. If it's not, that's going to be a huge problem for this Tennessee team. But it's got to be better than it was this last year. Otherwise, that's going to be a disappointing development.
Yeah. Consistency, and like Brew McCoy will give you that, and Squirrel White will give you that. Who's taking the top off the defense?
Exactly.
They did not have it this year. I think, again, Thornton was supposed to be that guy. Started to see a little bit of that. Keaton at times. I mean, Keaton made some big plays, but someone more consistent. Yeah, I mean, as long as you made it a tough catch. You know, but he
really was wild.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, I've seen that before. But who is gonna just strike fear into a defense the way Jalin Hyatt did? Because it's just when what did you have with them? I mean, you had Squirrel White, and Brew McCoy,
Tillman,
and you had Tillman, but he was so hurt for most of that last year. I mean, think of how much scarier that might have been, you know, in 22. Had they not had an actual high ankle sprain, that was like the official definition of a high ankle sprain with Tillman that year. But Hyatt just made everything so difficult for defenses because it's like he's just going to keep running that go route, and then you have to figure out what you're going to do. So who can provide that?
615-737-1025, our phone number. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will join us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. We got the Rex Rant coming up at 745. And right now, your chance to qualify to win a massive Preds prize pack that includes two tickets to the January 9th game at home at Bridgestone Arena next week, Lexus Lounge access, two Preds packs, and a $50 credit to BetMGM. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will qualify to win that prize pack, and we'll select the winner next week on the program as well. So looking forward to that. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us here on the program. PK, good morning. How are things going for you?
I would try to say hello if I could get to the button, but Joe has so much stuff over here, it's absolutely ridiculous. He's in a complete panic. He doesn't know how to. His family's in disarray.
Stop whining.
I'm not whining. I'm furious. I left my bag at home.
You did.
The station is not centrally located. I have to go all the way home to get my bag. I'm miserable with myself. Ugh. I'm a terrible human being.
Why can't
I'm
you
more
just
disorganized than Joe, who doesn't have his medical numbers handy.
Why do you like? Why can't you just? yeah, this is going.
There's a lot of chaos going
this
on.
Is real time.
I'll tell you this: the captain of the ship, Robbie. No issues. None. Everything's going smoothly on that side of the room. Yeah. Over here, it's a mess.
Look at Kieser in there. He's cool as a cucumber.
There he is.
Kieser left me standing on the stoop for about 8 minutes. It's like 0 degrees Celsius out there, and I'm
just trying to freeze Kuharski out over there.
Yeah, and beautiful. I've got no bag to keep me warm.
So why can't you just go? So obviously that's your laptop, right?
That's everything.
What else you got in there, man? You got some sandwiches in there? Like, why can't you just go to Titans and, like, record the stuff and then just go home and write? Well, you have a phone.
I need a lot of things that are in that bag, Chief.
You have a recorder? You have a separate
recorder? No. Well, I use my phone, but I use my phone smarter than all of you. I do everything video because then it's automatically indexed. Yeah. I can look at this stuff. But, I mean, what am I going to do from 9 o'clock until Vrabel's available at noon? That's big work time, Chief.
Joe, you know what this is like?
Go to walking at a mall.
You know, when you bring
people like you do?
When you bring your bag, it's like the airplane landing safely at the airport.
Yeah.
It's when you don't bring it. And the airplane crashes.
It was too long a question. But I use that all the time with PR people. And I once had, and I'll name names. I'm not going to remember his last name. Jerry Halpern. Jerry Halper. This was maybe like the first NCAA, or it might have been SEC, but it was very early in the existence of Bridgestone Arena. I don't know what it was called at the time. And they had a lot of trouble getting people into the building. I was at the Tennessean, and I was writing about their failure. I mean, it might have been pre-9/11. And they were having trouble getting people in the building. And people were very upset, and it was a very bad job. And Jerry actually said that. He said, what about the people who are getting in the building? Like, why aren't you saying about the people getting in the building? And I said that. I said, yeah, I'm going to go to the airport and write about all the planes that are landing. Like, the people who are in the building are getting what they paid for. It's the people, Jerry, out there who are not getting it. And I thought it was one of the worst pieces of PR in history.
So this is a two-decade illustration.
I've always thought of that terrible piece of PR.
I hope it was pre-9/11, if you were making this, well, I hope so. You know, comparison.
Even if it was post-9/11, you're obligated to get people in the building when they pay money for tickets.
Coach Vrabel, is Andre Dillard's pass blocking a lot like crashing a plane? what would you say?
Dude, this accent, I mean.
It's getting worse.
I don't know what it is. It's like a slow Bostonian or something. It's not close. You've got to. You have your computer, unlike me. Get some recordings of New Jersey people.
Mike on the Trey Avery front.
Yeah.
John just butting in. It's funny because we make him sound like he's butting in. Vrabel was done, and he turned, I mean, very physically.
But still.
Gentry was on one side of the room, and Mike faced that. He turned like, a whole 180 to John on the other side, and John began.
And then John,
him.
And then John comes with
a terrible Trey Avery.
What would you say about analyze his?
What's he going to do with that? Like, is he really? Is the Nashville Post going to have a piece on Trey Avery?
I'm looking forward to this Trey Avery piece from Glennon.
Mike, have you noticed too. That other teams are throwing the ball in Trey Avery's general direction every time they can?
He's already like exploded for the first time all season, which was not much of an explosion, and now he's going to light up. Now he's finally going to light up Trey Avery. We're going to go 2-for-2. We get emotional Mike Vrabel and then sell out Trey Avery, Mike Vrabel. It would have been great if it was a 2-for-2. Then we would have been like Glennon really sensed something there. He really caught on to an opening.
Well, every now and then Glennon catches some strays in that thing, man. Like Vrabel, I feel like every now and then really just digs in.
Some of his angriest moments have been
with Glennon. Yeah. Who's like one of the nicest people on the earth.
Yeah. Whispering John has done a really good job the last few years getting his voice to audible level. But he struggles so badly to get a question in. It's unbelievable. And he just refuses. He knows what it takes to get a question in. He just refuses to do what it takes. Is he like that at Preds? Or are the Preds a soft-spoken
bunch where
you can whisper your way in?
Oh, Johnny, he can whisper his way in that Preds locker room. It's quiet in there.
That's a good locker room for him.
Then. It is.
Because at the Titans locker room, once in a while, you're going to have to bust in. And he won't bust.
So people were mad. So some people mad about Vrabel about that. Some people mad about Gentry about that.
People loved it.
Well, there's people mad about it.
He finally has shown emotion. I've been waiting for that all year. That's what my Twitter's loaded with. I've been waiting for that all year.
Yeah, some of that. But, you know, there's also.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, we got tweeted at by someone who's like, you know, Vrabel treats you guy, whatever. You know, people. Like
you let us worry about us.
Well, but if you're a fan of a team. I mean, some fans, I think, correctly look at it like we are the conduit, right?
Sure.
So they take it as whatever treatment we get is treatment that they get.
I mean,
I'm not saying I agree.
First off, it was very mild. Secondly, he like apologized for the language on his way out the door. He uses language sometimes. I mean, are we Puritans or what? I mean, somebody broke down, you know, all the different ways people use the expletive, you know. Brackets, expletive, F-ing. I have the delightful privilege of being able to use the actual word, and nobody collapses when they see it. Lightning doesn't strike. I understand the FCC, but like, what would happen if we said the word in regular like times? Like, if there was no FCC, if we spoke the word, I know grandmas around town might faint, but it's a word. Like,
I mean,
he says stupid blank that gets
well,
us
that
in
word,
trouble.
Well, that word,
I think we've
advanced in society to the point where that word is kind of like, right?
The other word is also
but the
just
F word
fine.
Is still, you know,
oh, it's
you
just
want
fine.
Kids to hear that. It's you want to blurt fine. That out on the radio? Is kids going to school today?
It's just fine. Handle your kids yourself.
Well, the thing is, like, and we were talked about this earlier.
Oh, Coach Vrabel, Johnny, is a little upset, and he used a bad word, and we don't use that word around here. You've parented, Joe.
You just bark F-bombs at Simon all the time? Eat your effing dinner, Simon.
He doesn't hear that one as much, but I use language pretty freely around the house, and I don't hear it repeated.
One of the cool,
not in front of you.
One of the most amazing parts was once he got through all that, it turned into one of his best answers of the year in the press conference yesterday, I thought.
He got off it pretty quickly. It was good, but it was brief, and then he went right back into coach speak.
He did.
But, I mean, the idea, I wrote a whole piece about this. The idea that him showing emotion, there was something new or telling, that told us nothing new about Mike Vrabel. If you think Mike Vrabel hasn't been upset about the way things have unfolded, you're just clueless. The fact that he gets behind a podium for 10 minutes at a time, several times a week, and doesn't show that, in no way tells us he doesn't feel that. If you think this proud guy who had this excellent playing career and that was like 44-22 or something like that before things went south last year isn't upset by how things have gone this year, I think you're just like forcing your hatred of him. And I guess I understand that some people, you know, get themselves tied in a knot or whatever. You know, but the very thing you're complaining about is sideline disposition and all that comes out of a place where he can't stand what's going on.
Sure.
So the fact that he raised his voice and said the F word, that for you somehow is some huge revelation. Oh my God, he is upset.
I mean, if
the
I was
bottom
a fan,
line is it's they're losing. So when
exactly.
you're losing, there's a portion of the fan base
that no matter what he does up there, it's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, and we've talked about this. If he was like that at the podium on a regular basis, they say, where is the comportment? Why can't he handle himself properly and lose with dignity?
Yes. Whatever your personality is when you're losing sucks. You know, Clark Lee starts winning at Vanderbilt. Then all the Vanderbilt fans who wish he had more fire and swore at people. Well, I'm just saying, you know, that they're mad at him for the opposite, right?
Right.
He's too nice. He's too calm. He's too well-spoken, you know? So, okay. Well, if he wins, then they'll love that. Just, yeah. But
it's a big if.
Well, sure. I understand that. Thank you. What about – so on the Gentry side of this – I thought there was a lot of misunderstanding of that, too, because Vrabel said losing for a lot of reasons, right? He's just following up. Like, okay, a lot of reasons. It sucks for a lot. There really is one reason, because it sucks, because they work hard, and it's their life, and they're consumed by it.
But didn't
and
you
so
think
that's
when,
one reason.
And you should have been in attendance, but didn't you think
I was
that,
in Orlando.
Yeah, you really milked that trip for all it was worth. Didn't you think that when Vrabel came back and looked for clarification there, I felt like, and we discussed this in the press, in the press room after the press conference, what he was looking for there was job security question, I felt like. A lot of reasons, and then Gentry was saying, well, could you be more...
So in other words, is one of those reasons saving my butt? Okay.
Yep. I thought that's what he was going for, and that maybe he was ready to let off a little steam about that. That there are a lot of reasons, and among those isn't me. It isn't my job performance. There are a lot of other reasons at play here.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
That does make sense. You know, either way, it was one of those things. It was, you know, press conferences have been a little bit more exciting this year. We went through the hands thing earlier with you, a little bit more going on with Vrabel. At the end of that, I don't think yesterday's a little blow. Well, there's that.
Compared to what are you doing with your hands, thanks for the long-winded question where I clapped back. I don't know if you heard my clap back, but I said, you're welcome.
Oh, we heard it.
Yeah. I mean, the hands thing is way, way bigger. The hands thing is an 8. The long-winded question is a 2.5.
Okay.
What was the other one we were talking about? Was Jared think like a man?
You can act like a man.
Jared, who said, you know, when did I ever not tell the coach, you know, how I feel, or when am I afraid to approach him? And I said, you won't be there. And sure enough, he wasn't there. It's the easiest prophecy ever.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Paul Kuharsky with us for the rest of the show, talking all things Titans. We'll get into the Rex rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question.
Well, then ask the question. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous. It sucks. Losing. Awful.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day in front of Paul Kuharsky.
Owned.
You did get owned by Vrabel.
So ridiculous.
God dang it, man. Yeah, no, it's – sorry. I'm in total crisis mode right now because our medical coverage has changed. Got a kid at a doctor appointment. I'm just – I know this is just real-time failure of life. Okay, I'll give you guys a choice.
Okay,
he's got so many bad rants. We can choose.
I've got many good choices.
Why not both?
So, the one that will at some point we have to talk about Jared's take about DeAndre Hopkins' haircut and Vrabel.
I vote against Jared.
You vote against Jared. Okay. All right, then fine. We've talked some about this, but this is a new level for me. So yesterday, I'm in the Orlando airport, as Paul said, milking it. The Orlando airport for 10 hours yesterday was amazing. It was so cool.
Love that place.
Like, apparently, everyone in Tennessee took their kids to Disney World the last few days. I didn't realize. And I went to, you know how you have the convenience stores in the airport, like the bigger ones, and then you have those little smaller ones, you know, that are kind of like in the the gateway, the hallway down with just some gates, right? So little one of those, I got a big water and some Sun Chips. Shout out Cheddar Sun Chips. And I went, you know, to the counter to pay, and the woman was really friendly. Like, hey, how was your new year? How are you, you know, like trying to talk
me up a little bit, stuff
like this. Yeah.
Oh boy.
And, you know, I was like, hey, how you doing? Okay. All right. Put the, it's a little thing, you put your card in. You, maybe this is just new for me, and maybe I'm making too big a deal out of it because it's in a lot of places. We've talked about this already. You go to a sandwich shop, you go to a food, fast food, you go to a coffee shop, and then you have the tip option. And honestly, I usually do tip people when there's food or coffee involved. But at this place, they gave me the tip option of 15 or 18% for at a convenience store? Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Totally,
I mean, we
control.
Don't have that at our airport. We don't have that
God,
at
I
our
hope
airport.
Not. There's no reason to give a tip.
I mean, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
This is becoming an epidemic. It really is.
Like if no service is given, no tip is given.
I mean, like that. Like, so again, she was very, Maybe I'm making the connection, but it was just like you're sitting here pandering for tips. Like I did the thing myself. Like, there's a thing, and you just put your card in.
Yeah, scan it. Did you scan it yourself? You scanned it.
No, now she did do the beep.
Yeah, but that's
beep,
not.
Then
but this is what she's paid to do.
Yes,
and she didn't have to move.
So first of all, I find that to be absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, I did zero tip.
Did they ask you for a charity donation also?
No, but those are.
Would you like to round up to the nearest dollar?
You know, when you give one of those, you do get coupons.
Yeah, and you carry coupons around all the time.
Well, sometimes coupons can come in handy.
Got a book.
Yeah, I've bought many books of coupons.
Coupons are.
Let me tell you that. Let me tell you. So I had no tip. Now I do want to know though. Am I wrong when I push yes when I go to a place for coffee and give them like a buck?
I think if it's behind the counter, I don't know. I'm not a coffee drinker, so at Starbucks they do a lot of work. So maybe a Starbucks is worthy of a small tip. And I have a
So at a place where they make a sandwich, I think they do work. I give them a little tip.
But that's what they're paid to do.
Yeah, that's what they're paid to do. Now,
I think
I used to deliver pizza.
Involves some walking. Some walk. You have to come to me and do some thing and return to me.
I've heard people say that when I delivered pizza. And I was like, yeah, they pay us $2 an hour. Like,
yeah,
basically,
you're also driving your car delivering
sure.
a pizza. So it's not the same
pizza
thing.
Pizza delivery is.
But it's still paid. Like, there are some jobs where the tips are the bulk of your pay.
Sure.
Right. So. Right. Now, so I don't know what I don't know what this woman made at this tiny little convenience check in the
good
airport.
Hourly number. I mean, I'm not saying a great hourly number, but she's making an hourly number that's not relying on tips.
Right. I mean, you can't, like, everything that you pay for. Are we going to get to the point where there's a tip option?
It feels like we're already there.
I mean, this is the new frontier for me. So if anybody out there has seen this, or maybe we're
not
just
tip
slow,
on that.
But like here at BNA, I mean. Right now, that is not in effect at the...
Right now, at BNA, nobody should be tipped for anything. Everybody should pay you for something. I was at my gate early because I was flying on New Year's Eve, and I didn't know what was going on Saturday. And there was a woman walking around at my waiting area giving out surveys about how things were going at BNA. And I looked up and gave her a wave, like, hey, bring me one of those. And she avoided me like the plague. And I think it's BS that they're passing out surveys. I'm going to stack my rant on top of yours. It's BS that they're going around passing out surveys now on that day when everything ran smoothly. So everybody could tell them what a great job they're doing because things are running smoothly. I was going to get her to give me the thing, and I was going to say, I'm going to review your performance over the last several months, which has been absolute bleep. I would use the curse word again to her.
Bleeping bleep.
Yes. And I would say, bleeping bleep, yes. And I would say, I know that it's not you, but you're the conduit I have to the BNA officials. It's an embarrassment that you're passing out a survey now that things are, you just had a good afternoon. Congratulations. Good job. But while I see, because my wife has local news on once in a while, that people are circling the airport for 2 hours in order to get on their flight, and you've mismanaged and botched this thing to no end, you should get zeros across the board on your damn survey. Incompetent Nashville, continuing to not do anything infrastructure-wise as it builds, is a massive failure for everybody that's involved on any level. Freddie, you're in charge of it. You start to have some underlings. Actually plan for things.
Selective surveying.
And also, I don't like tipping. Good rant.
See, we just like, we're just like Garcia have it on Wednesdays.
I feel like that was an improvement from Rex.
I think you did.
We went in a positive direction today.
I think you did.
Bring in the righty.
He's coming. Good job, Joe. You did much better this summer.
Selective surveying. What is that?
I don't like
it. Oh, she looks happy. Look how happy that woman looks. Ma'am, would you like to take a survey? They brought out the woman from the kiosk.
I love
with the lovely personality.
I love how they looked at Karski and was like, oh, no.
I gave her the two-finger wave. I was like, ma'am.
Oh, I've run out of them. I'm sorry, sir.
I looked very pleasant. I was like, oh, I'd love to take your survey, ma'am.
I take surveys all the time.
Yeah, I'm number one survey taker.
I've not been in BNA over a year, so I'm going at
you
the end of this month.
Very different.
I'm going at the end of this month. I'm a little nervous. See how that's going to go.
Well, it'll depend.
I've heard bad things.
Timing.
Well, yeah, it's.
I wouldn't you love to see video of Robbie getting out of the car and walking up the highway? Hey, I know that guy.
Yeah, it's.
Can't park anywhere around here.
They've had some struggles. I will say that my favorite pizza is now in there, so I'm.
Dude,
I'm
how do you like that pizza? It has no crust.
Oh, it's so amazing!
It has no crust. It's sure basically like putting cheese on a plate with toppings.
Oh, it's great.
We're talking about Slim and Huskies. I'll name the names.
Stop
this is the
naming
most
names.
Overrated pizza I've ever had.
I had it
for the first time at the airport. I arrived early again. I'm like, oh, I can finally get to try this pizza. And then I ate it. I was like, it's like crustless pizza. It's awful. If you haven't tried it yet, do not go.
It's my favorite pizza.
You are from place with pizza.
Yeah.
I mean, you grew up eating Detroit area pizza, which is good pizza.
Uh-huh.
How could you like this?
I like that too.
Honestly,
is there any pizza I don't like? No, not really.
Describe the crust.
It's thin crust.
It's a non-existent crust. It's the same as the plate. I couldn't tell the difference between the crust and the plate that they gave me to eat the no crust off of.
I mean, how many things are you going to bitch about in one segment?
It's a rant, man.
Dude, give me a show.
You know? Got a texter that says it really is an epidemic. A lot of us are sick of the tip deal. We must fight this. This is almost the same as a participation award. Servers actually work hard for their tip, and at least you have something to evaluate and tip for, not just coffee or some sandwich.
That should be the standard. That's a very good. If you have something to evaluate, then you tip. If you're evaluating somebody standing behind a cash register, there's nothing to evaluate, therefore no tip.
Yeah, I do think the effort of putting together a coffee or the effort of putting together a sandwich.
That's evaluatable.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so we agree. But yes, scanning your water and Sun Chips, no.
But I think making a sandwich isn't necessarily worth the 20% that waiting
on
me for a meal.
No, I agree. You take it down. That's about 10.
Yeah.
That's about 10.
Keith on the text line says, I'm disappointed we didn't get more recipes this week.
Yeah.
Recipes.
Could have been a weekly tradition.
I got another one for you. Some good Brussels.
Julia.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Let's talk more Brussels
why people
sprouts.
Tune in.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45.
It's a train wreck every morning.
Some progress made.
I should call
in. At least it's not a plane wreck like the Titans offensive line.
Oh, don't make plane wreck jokes.
You're the one who bringing up plane wrecks.
I wasn't making jokes about
it. Let me ask you a 9-minute question, Coach Vrabel, about plane wrecks.
I don't use the word wrecks. That's
very
Southern. I
appreciate that long-winded question there, Paul.
I said you're welcome.
You're welcome.
I told him he's welcome.
We'll get back into the Titans coming up next.
Look, this lineman made a great block on this play, and that's what we're going with. Forget all the other stuff.
This is Pizza Robbie Party. Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.